You're listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.
Let us pray. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Sometimes when I am opening my laptop or opening my phone, I don't really have a PC like I used to anymore, but I will start typing something into Google, or the Google, as some of you call it, and it will finish your sentence when you're typing something in, or your thought, even if it's very misspelled. Maybe you've have we seen this happening? Is this only me? Okay, good. Sometimes, though, I catch myself while I am typing into Google, how do I, and then I'll just read some of the things that are there. Sometimes they make me laugh. Sometimes they make me like, oh. But most of the time, it makes me laugh. How do I stop? And then the suggested ways to finish that sentence are interesting. I encourage you to do this. How do I stop spam calls? Just needing one more extra insurance call is what we need in our lives. How do I stop coughing? How do I stop snoring? How do I stop drinking? How do I stop eating? Basic kind of stuff. We get into these ruts in our life, or we get into these well-worn paths of these habits that we live with. And sometimes we come to a place where we think, I would like to stop, or I would like to try to stop doing blank. Habits, though, are overall a pretty good thing because they help us not have to use a ton of brain power to think about what we are doing. Habits help us not to make decisions. If I brush my teeth out of habit, I generally don't have to remind myself, which is a good thing for you all, especially today. If you check your rearview mirror by going out of your driveway, even if you have the little screen that shows you, it's a good thing to do. Those types of things. You take the same route to work every day because it's automatic, and even if there is an insane amount of road work going on in Waco, you still put up with it regardless. Comfortable, safe, secure. These are where our habits help us stay. But they do sometimes get out of whack. Sometimes our habits have a way of coming back to bite us in the rear in ways that we do not expect. Like that morning commute where there's road work, or sending a text to an ex maybe that you didn't need to send late at night, maybe trying to forgive that person only for them to come back and do the same thing next week. You try to move the Oreos from one place to another, thinking, I won't get them, and I always get them, no matter where they are. We even have habits in these well-worn paths in church. It's Easter. And I don't know if you knew this, we had Easter last year, and we've had Easter for a couple thousand years now, in a really great way. We have these habits as a church. Similar readings, similar sermons, but don't tell anyone about that. Because the old story, though, is the good story. The main thing is the main thing when it comes to Easter, when it comes to Christmas, and when it comes to Pentecost for you diehards, and those types of things. It's not a bug. It's a feature that we get to do these same things over and over and over again. We get to stick close to this resurrection story because it is the best place to find the risen Christ. And if you came expecting a regular Sunday, or if you are here for the first time, whatever it is, you might have been surprised to see that the church is full of flowers, but you were likely not surprised because you've been here before and you know some of the things. The church is full this morning. We have these habits, we have these well-worn paths, we have the chairs that we like to sit in at the service that you go to, the way that we like to do things. But if you've ever had a change in life, you know that habits can get out of whack when you've moved in with someone. I had this roommate once who would always, when he moved into a new place, remove the stove and clean very well behind the stove everywhere he lived. And I thought that was an interesting, frightening habit that he had. But if you ever tried to break a habit to start fresh, it can be really, really hard. So what does it mean? What does this Easter story mean for us, people who frequently need to start again or who want to start again? What does it mean for us, people who have our well-worn paths of living and at some point we realize or someone tells us we're not living up to the moment? What about these pair of Marys that we heard about in the Gospel of Matthew today? The followers of Jesus that go to the tomb when things fall apart, when their well-worn paths, when their well-worn habits of what to do when someone dies, when that does not end up meeting the moment. Not because of anything they've done, though, but because our Lord is risen indeed. The Gospel of Matthew today opens up with this stone that is rolled away from the tomb. I would also say the way in which you can look in your bulletins, we have Mary Magdalene, and then St. Matthew says the other Mary. Oh, I would hate to be the other Mary for all time in the Gospel of Matthew. Just, yeah, it's Mary Magdalene and the other Mary. Don't know, mother of James and Joseph, but yeah, it's just tough. But these disciples, these women, these pair of Marys, these followers of Christ come to the tomb. And we don't really see that they're carrying much with them, which for me at least says Jesus had maybe two people that were there, two people that took him at his word, these women, this pair of Marys that show up to the tomb that said, maybe something could happen. Maybe something could happen. Remember, he's behind a big rock. He's dead in the tomb. No one comes back from this. And they show up, the only two that took him at his word, the only two that believed that he would be raised on the third day, or at least curious enough to trek out on that cold morning to see. But the dead do not come back to life, or so the story goes. The words that we hear to the Marys and the words that we hear are, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. Why are these the first words? And why are these words that show up when messengers of God, when angels, angelic beings talk to people? Why are these the first words? Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid that these habits, that these expectations are broken up when this stone is rolled away. Do not be afraid that God is on the move, that Christ has been raised and is roaming around and has stuff to do. Do not be afraid that there is something afoot, that there is something happening, that there is something different, that there is a different way of living. What have we to fear when only life sits in front of us? The fear that they leave at the tomb, says one theologian, is the fear that would trap themselves into saying they have no hope of the resurrection. That there is no more hope for the broken relationship, for the harsh words spoken, for the pain dug up from an unexpected phone call. That is the only fear that the women leave. The fear that takes us back to the paths that we think are best, to the habits that we think are right, to the ways in which we are set, the place where we think we can't change no matter what we do. All of this before even the Marys have seen our Lord. Even before seeing Christ, they have heard the gospel, because that is the gospel, that there is life. They have seen the crucifixion, they have seen the empty tomb, enough to make them feel awe and wonder. The crucifixion settles who and what God is. The resurrection settles that it is God, says Robert Jensen. And they are discovering that this mercy that God has taught them is real, that actually we can change through the help of Christ, not through anything we can do. They are discovering the who God is and what God is. And this God that goes to the cross is the God that gets up from the grave, putting death to death. That this care, this mercy, this love, this hope, all of the things we will pray about at the Eucharistic table, all of it that continually reasserts itself every single Sunday, every single Easter, that it's real. They touch him. He appears. In other gospels, he eats food to say, look, I'm not just a ghost. I'm not just Princess Leia coming out of R2-D2 vision type of thing. I'm a person, and I'm flesh and blood, says Christ, says our God. All joyful disbelief. What we are told in this gospel passage, though, is that the promises of God, the promises that God makes, our promises of grace and peace and that God is with you, all of these are fulfilled in what Christ does. Do not be afraid. There is a different way to live. There is a different path that you can take. There is life, and there's life in abundance. That cyclical way of living helps us here. It helps us remember that these promises, the promises made to the people of Israel to take them out of the land, the promises from the prophets to return to God, the promises of life and care that resound throughout all of the Gospels to us today, it culminates in the resurrection. The promises that God makes to humans that says, I am with you and I'm on your side. Christ fulfills promises. And I am not sure about you, but I break promises frequently, and I hear promises get broken frequently in my life. I'll do the dishes this time. I can water your plants while you're gone in July. Ooh, that one was tough, I gotta say. Not me, done to me, and we won't name that person. The promise of peace that the Holy Spirit gives to us at baptism is something that my own anxiety and way of life can just get warped up in all of the ways that we live. It is meant to bring us together, though. It is meant to bring us close to God. God who is us. God who is close to us. This is the beginning of the end of the world. The peace is the beginning of all things made right by Christ. That peace, that mercy is real, and it plays on repeat, track after track, time after time in this cyclical way. Because if you've ever stood having to make a decision, you want that peace. If you've ever sat awake at night trying to balance a budget that just will not work, you want that peace. If you've ever made or not made the decision to leave someone, you want that peace. If you've only been presented with the aggressive form of treatment, that peace is what we want. And that peace is real. That's what the Marys find, and that's what we find as well in the bread and in the wine. Do not be afraid. God is with you. God is for you. God is on your side coming out of the tomb to save us. And that's the story, because we do need saving. If not from others, then at least from myself. There's a novel that I really like called Silence by Shusaku Endo. This Japanese author, he's a devout Christian, was a devout Christian. The novel was made into a film a few years ago, and if you would like to see Adam Driver and Andrew Garfield as starving priests in Japan in the 17th century, go watch it. But it's about the persecution of Christians in Japan at this time, in the 17th century. But this character stands out to me, and I think about him all the time. His name is Kichijiro. He is a Christian, and he regularly betrays other people. He is the type of person that causes mayhem, and his actions lead to the death of more than a few people. He comes into this story messing up, coming back and asking for forgiveness, and then immediately going back and doing the thing that he said he wasn't going to do. And that might sound familiar, and you might squirm a little as I'm saying that out loud, and that's okay. But he comes to these imprisoned priests in the dark of night for confession, and he begs for forgiveness one last time, and then one last time after that, and then one last time after that. He comes to them. He is Judas, he is Peter, he is me, he is you, he is all of us, wrapped up in one. Good followers of Jesus are not always doing the right thing, the proper thing. Good followers of Jesus are stuck in our ruts, in our paths. But they are coming to the tomb out of some type of hope, out of some kind of wild abandon that maybe something has happened. Followers of Jesus, though, know that they can return time and time again to hear the message that God is for you, that God is not against you. That you can follow him just as you are, not who you're going to be in a year or even a month or even a week or even after this great Easter service. There are shockingly few prerequisites to follow God, to meet this grace of God. The main one is this: are you a person? And that's it. We pray that God will open our eyes to this redeeming work that we have in the resurrection. To see Christ in all things, to know that the forgiveness and mercy that is already at work will be felt and made present. Do not be afraid. We thank this God who tells us not to fear the fear of death. Christ is risen. Death is defeated. God is for you, not against you. Amen.
Thanks for listening to the sermon podcast from St. Albans Episcopal Church in Waco, Texas. Find us online at stalbanswaco.org to learn more.